Been here since 1990, as Brother Kurt said, and what a blessing it's been. It's been quite a privilege to serve in a place like this. This is an easy place to serve the Lord. It really is, because everybody pitches in, everybody does their part. It's just been incredible. As he mentioned, I have been here since 1990, so almost 28 years now. And it's just been a blessing serving God in this place. I'm from Alabama originally, and it's good to see some Southerners out there. I've seen some of you guys from Mississippi and Alabama and other places. So I'm originally from Alabama. And a lot of times I'll talk about Alabama when I talk to people because I call it back home. I love it back home. You know, I'll say, I like it back home. Even my kids, my son Josh here is here. And when he talks about it, he'll say, back home. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, if you love it in Alabama so much and it's so special to you, why are you here? Several years ago, I had a good friend, Jim Rushing, a preacher who was a preacher in Georgia for most of his ministry, and he was from Alabama. And people posed the same question to him, because a lot of times when he preached, he would talk about Alabama and Alabama being the Holy Land and all kinds of stuff like that. And so, in his line, he's with the Lord now, so I'm going to take his line, okay? When people asked him, if he loved Alabama so much, why was he in Georgia? People ask me, you love Alabama so much, why are you in California? He would always say, I'm a missionary to the heathen, okay? and so I'm here because I'm a missionary to the heathen, okay? But God's been good. This has been a wonderful place to serve. And I want to thank you for being here from the bottom of my heart. I know a lot of times, a lot of the sessions are taught by the wonderful staff that we have here at Lancaster Baptist Church and even guest preachers and stuff that come in. And I count it a great privilege to be able to do this and a great privilege for the opportunity to welcome you as just a church member to you to be here. Listen, we pray for this thing. I'll start praying for next year's conference next week. And I'll pray throughout the year. And I know many of our church members are that way too. This means a lot to us when you show up and you're willing to support your pastor when you're here to learn the Word of God, to grow in your faith. And that's what it's all about. You know, one day we'll see the Lord and it'll be worth it all. So let's talk about this thing of servant leadership. We're going to get into the Word of God here. And I apologize, I did have a PowerPoint, but it didn't work out. So we're going to go the old-fashioned way, all right? So servant leadership. It's nothing new. Servant leadership has been around for a long, long time as a term, really as a philosophy and as a truth. We go back to the days of Joshua. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, okay? In 1970, there was a man by the name of Robert Greenleaf, who wrote a document about servant leadership. And it really became popular in the secular world at that time. This thing of servant leadership. But the secular view of servant leadership is quite different from the spiritual or the biblical view of it. And so I've got a couple of things down here. First of all, the secular purpose or the secular view of servant leadership is to serve others in order to lead them to accomplish your will. To serve others in order to lead them to accomplish your will. And sometimes that can even become a little manipulative. You know, kind of a I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine type of thing. I'll do something for you, therefore I expect you to follow me. And so it's quite different in the secular world. So let's take a look at a spiritual purpose or a spiritual idea about this thing of servant leadership. To serve others in order to lead them to accomplish God's will. Okay. In other words, to serve people so that you have an opportunity to encourage them to draw closer to the Lord. I mean, when you think about servant leadership and every aspect of your life, from the home life to the workplace to the community or wherever, really our goal as Christians should be to serve people in order to have the opportunity to lead them closer to the Lord. For unsaved people, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? And so we want to serve people so that we have opportunities to lead them to the Lord. For our Christian brethren, to serve them, to help them, to encourage them. The Bible says to edify the church. And so all of this revolves around this thing of servant leadership. So let's jump into this. Let's take a look at it. First of all, let's look at the foundation of servant leadership. The foundation of servant leadership. Okay, number one, the foundation of servant leadership is, first of all, one master. One master. And if you want to put parentheses out beside that, we all know who that is. It's God. Okay? One master. If you're going to serve, you need to know who you're serving. Does that make sense? You can't serve two masters. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Matthew 23:10-11, the Bible says, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, but he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And so first of all, in this thing of servant leadership, the foundation of it, really the baseline of it, is who am I serving? Who am I going to serve? And so I encourage you to have one master, okay? Every servant must have a master, right? Make sense? Every servant must have a master. So therefore, you got to determine, who am I serving? Why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? All right? And then we say we are freed to serve God alone. Galatians 5:13, which is our part of our key verse. I've got it at the top of your notes there. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So we're freed from our sins to serve God alone. We're freed to serve the Lord. And the word of God here is very clear that we should not use our liberty or this freedom as an occasion to the flesh. So I just simply say this, don't have a me master, all right? In other words, don't have a me master. Don't serve the flesh. And listen to me, I've been around for a while, been involved in ministry for a while, and I've done ministry in the flesh, and probably so have you, you know, for fleshly reasons, okay? And it can be done. Ministry can be done in the flesh. And so the Bible says, don't have a me master. Don't do what you do just so that somebody will give you a pat on the back, or somebody will congratulate you, or you'll get to stand up and get a 25-year service prize for serving in the church or anything like that. And we need to avoid that mentality. We need to, the baseline, fundamental, foundational is, who am I going to serve? Who's my master? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this just because I enjoy it? Am I doing this just because I get a warm fuzzy from this? So don't serve a me master. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 22 and 23 says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freedman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Be not ye the servants of men. So not only should we not be have a me master, we shouldn't have men masters. We shouldn't have men masters. Have you ever seen somebody that was just miserable in ministry? You know who I'm talking about. They do what, you know, pastor asks them to do, or they do what the Sunday school teacher asks them to do, or they do what the head usher asks them to do, or whatever. But then they kind of complain about it and fuss about it, and they're kind of miserable, what I call being miserable in ministry. Then they're doing it for the wrong person. They've got the wrong master, okay? They're trying to please the wrong person. They're trying to please somebody instead of pleasing God. And so it's so very, very important, foundational with this thing of servant leadership, is why am I doing what I'm doing? Who is my master? Am I doing this to please the Lord, or am I doing it to please somebody else? Thirdly, under this one master, I'd say this. A single master makes serving simple. I teach 5th and 6th grade boys and girls, and I tell them all the time. I said, religion complicates serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is really simple. It really is. You open up the Bible, you read the Bible, you do what it says. Right? It's very simple. And this thing of serving the Lord is very simple. A single master makes serving simple. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Matthew 11:29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you, very familiar verse, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, that verse troubled me for quite a while. Because there were times, now we all know ministry sometimes does get difficult, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if the Lord is your master and it's his yoke that's upon you, the ministry should be pleasurable. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. And when you're serving the Lord, you can serve with gladness. And it makes a world of difference. When I first came here to Lancaster Baptist Church, I have to admit to you, I was a little bit discouraged. I'd been saved for about 10 years at that point, and I had some different experiences throughout those 10 years. And quite honestly, I came here and I just kind of sat back and watched for a while, you know. And I heard Pastor preaching, and I thought, man, this is just too good to be true. So I just said, I'm going to observe this guy for a while. And then as I started watching him, and then I saw some other men in the church, and Brother Coates is here this morning. He doesn't know this, but he's one of the men I was watching, okay? And Brother Coates and Brother Jones and Brother Lofgren and Brother Weibel, you don't know many of these men, but these were all men here before me. And I started watching these men, and they were serving the Lord, and they were having a great time doing it. And they just were loving serving God. And it was a great blessing and encouragement to me. It was refreshing to me. And as I saw that, I realized that they were serving the Lord. Not necessarily pastor, not necessarily some other man in the church, not even for their own pleasure, but they were serving the Lord. And so foundational to this thing of servant leadership is this. Who's your master? Okay. Why are you going to church? Why are you going out soul winning? Why are you teaching that class? Why are you ushering? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it because the pastor wants you to, or somebody, or are you doing it because you know God wants you to? And it's very important, because if not, you're going to find yourself doing ministry miserably. Okay? I've tried to make it a habit in these past several years, and I admit, for a long time, especially those first 10 years that I was saved, a lot of times I would do things just to please people, you know, to please others, to satisfy my pastor or whatever. But then I got to the point where I realized that if I did everything that everybody wanted me to do, it'd probably kill me, you know, because there's always a need. There's always a need everywhere. And so I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, God's my master, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And whenever somebody asks me, you know, Brother McCollum, can you do this, can you do that? This leadership conference is a good example. Man, we plan and we prepare, and there's, just to fulfill the nurseries, there were over 500 positions that they needed just to provide nursery service, okay? And I got asked to help to do the child care. I got asked to do the session. I got asked for several things. And at some point, you have to step back and you have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay. I can't do all of these things. What do you want me to do? Okay. And so I would challenge you with that. First of all, foundational, one master. Okay. Let's move on. Secondly, one motive. One motive. And that motive is love. If we look at our key verse here, Galatians 5, 13 and 14, it says, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? But by love serve one another. So one motive, and that motive is love. And this is unconditional love. We know all about this. We've been in church. We know that there's different words in the original language for love. But this is agape love. This is unconditional love. This is the kind of love that Jesus had when he was hanging on the cross, and he looked down and saw those who plucked his beard and put the nails in his hands, and those who were going to put the spear through his side. And he loved them unconditionally. They could offer him nothing, but he could offer them everything. And this is the kind of love the Bible's talking about here. Now, I have to admit, this is my struggle point. Okay, I'm not a really strong, compassionate person. I'm not. It's just the way I am. And I have to pray every day, God, help me to love people. Help me not to loathe them. Help me to love them, okay? Help me not to have contempt for them, but help me to have compassion for them. And that's a struggle with me. We live in a wicked world, and it's hard not to look out there and see people doing things, saying things, acting certain ways, and to love them as Christ told us to love them. So we see this thing of servant leadership, foundational to it, is one master. Get that nailed down. Who am I serving? One motive, love. And then thirdly, one mandate. And of course, that mandate is to serve. By love, serve one another. Okay? And serving is just love indeed, I-N-D-E-E-D, love indeed. It's getting involved in doing things for people out of love, and it's just as simple as that. So I want to encourage you, as we think about the foundational things, I just wanted to get that kind of nailed down and get that groundwork done before we move on. But these are necessary. One master, right? Everybody, one what? And then one motive. And then one mandate. And that mandate is to serve. I mean, God said, I love the portion of scripture where Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" I love that portion of scripture. He's saying, "Why call me Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, and you don't do the things that I say?" And what he's saying is here, by love, we ought to serve one another. Okay? So let's move on. Let's look at number two. We've seen the foundation of servant leadership, so now let's take a look at the formula of servant leadership. The formula. Now, we're just going to say this right up front. Before we get into these aspects of the formula, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably." Let us have what? Grace whereby we might serve God acceptably. So the things we're going to talk about in just a minute, even things we've already talked about, you've got to have God's grace to do it. It's not natural for us to do these things I'm about to mention, okay? We've got to have God's grace. So therefore, if we're going to be the servant leaders God wants us to be, we're going to have to attain the grace of God. So this formula really has more to do with attaining the grace of God than it does with the nuts and bolts of serving. Because if you haven't got the grace of God upon your life, then you're not going to want to serve. You're not going to want to do the things for God that God wants you to do. Many times I've been asked to do things that I thought, boy, Pastor, you have got the wrong person. Okay, when they asked me to teach this, I said, "Pastor, you've got the wrong person." Okay, so we need the grace of God to do the work of God. So let's take a look at this formula for servant leadership. First of all, die to self. Die to self. Die to self-promotion, self-esteem, self-righteousness, self-confidence. Die to self. Okay, that's got to be done if we're going to attain the grace of God. James 4:6 says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." If I need the grace of God, then I'm going to have to humble myself. I love it that over and over again in the Bible, it says, humble yourself. Okay, it's something that you've got to do. It's something that I've got to do. We've got to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We've got to die to self. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "I die daily." So it's a daily exercise. It's not something we do one time. We have to wake up every day and die to self. One of my best prayer times is when I drive into work. I have about a 40-minute drive to work. It's out in the backside of the desert, heading out to where I work. That's when I talk to the Lord. My primary time, I talk to the Lord and I pray. And during that prayer, I always say this. I said, "Lord, help me, God, to die to self and to live unto you today. Help me to walk in sincere meekness and humility. Help me to overcome this wicked pride of mine." I say this. I say, "Slay this pride of mine in your grace and truth." Why? Because I know me. And I know that if I don't die to self, that God's not going to be able to use me. I know if I don't die to self, then his grace is not going to be upon my life. I'm not going to be able to minister. I'm not going to be the servant that God wants me to be. So first of all, die to self. Secondly, I'd say this, desire to serve. Desire to serve. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Do you want to serve God so much that you pray for opportunities? It says, come before the throne of grace boldly. Have you ever asked God, "God, show me where to serve. God, give me opportunities to serve. God, give me the appetite to serve." Again, going back to when I first came to Lancaster Baptist Church, I kept watching these men that were serving God, and they were happy, and they just did what they needed to do, whatever that was. And that was a blessing to me. I had never been in a church like that before. And so as I watched those men, the Lord one day touched my heart through a message. And I went home, and I got down on my knees, and I prayed, and I said, God, help me to have a servant's heart like these men do. I want this. I desire this. The Bible says, come before his throne with boldness, okay, that we might obtain that grace to help in time of need. And I was saying, God, I need your help with this, because I'm a selfish person. I want to enjoy life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have the me master, okay? And it's got to be a daily thing that we do. So die to self, desire to serve, and then lastly, deflect the success. Deflect the success. I love the Apostle Paul. And what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10 is, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, if you stop right there, it sounds almost like he's kind of bragging, right? I labored above them all. You know, I did more than all of them. I went more places, preached more sermons, got persecuted more. I did all. But then if you continue reading, he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So as we serve people, as we do things for people, and as we achieve what we might say some success in that, there's going to be times where people will come up to you and say, thank you for this, or thank you for that, or whatever. And we need to be willing to deflect that success. After all, the purpose of servant leadership spiritually is to lead people closer to the Lord, not closer to me. Okay. So developing that habit of deflecting the praise is very important, because if you don't get into that habit, guess what? Pretty soon you'll start thinking, well, I guess I am doing a good job. I guess I am pretty good, you know. These people, you know, that I've helped, they're very thankful to me. And all of a sudden, guess who's the master again? The master of me, okay? So deflect the praise. And then the last thing we're going to look at very quickly, and we're almost done, is the face of servant leadership. The face of servant leadership. What's it look like? You know, when you think of somebody's face, you think about, okay, what do they look like? And when we're talking about servant leadership, we're saying the face of servant leadership, what does it look like? I mean, what does it appear like? What's the groundwork? And I look at it from two different angles, basically. First of all, I look at this thing of serving from habit. There are some habits that we can develop in our lives, some things that we can develop in our lives habitually to serve those around us. For example, I teach a Sunday school class in here. That's something I do every single Sunday. That's habitual. That's something I do every week. But then there's the happenstance type stuff instead of habit. There's the opportunities that God just brings before us, you know, all at once. And we've got to. And the thing about it is, if you don't have a servant's heart, then you never see those things. You know, if you don't have a servant's heart, and there's a soda can blowing across the parking lot of the church, you'll never even see it. You'll never even notice it. You might see it. You may think somebody ought to pick that up. It's a different perspective, you know. When you've got a servant's heart, and you've heard Pastor say this, you see the need and you take the lead. You look out and you see that lady walking up to the church door struggling with one little toddler and holding this and a diaper bag and everything, and you're just compelled to go open the door and try to help her. While everybody else kind of stands around and goes, boy, look at that lady. You know, she's having a tough time. So it's just a different perspective. And when you ask God for a servant's heart, you better mean it. Because he'll give it to you. And you'll start seeing needs and opportunities all around you. When I teach my fifth and sixth grade boys and girls, I tell them this. I say, let God use you, and I'll stop. And they'll go, now, you know, because I'm trying to teach them to let God use them now. And there's all kinds of opportunities all around to serve the Lord. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be this or that or whatever title you want to play put out there. All you have to be is a servant. The mandate was to be a what? Servant, okay? And there's opportunities all around us to serve God if we're willing to do anything that the Master wants us to do, okay? So let's take a quick look at this. Jesus in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, showed us, we're very familiar with this, he's riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel, girded himself, after which he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the face of servant leadership. This is what it looks like. It's getting involved, getting your hands dirty, getting down in the trenches, doing whatever needs to be done. And so let's think about this for a minute. First of all, servant leadership in the home. And really, this last point is really more of a challenge to you, okay? And I want to challenge you right now as we get started on this. Before you leave this place and go back home, I want to encourage you to sit down and look at each of these sections and say, okay, how can I be a better servant leader in my home? Because I know that if you're in here a man or you're in here a lady, whatever the case might be, that you want to serve your children that you might lead them closer to the Lord. You want to serve your husband or serve your wife that you might lead them closer to the Lord. My wife does something for me that's just incredible. I come home from work. I go, this is my daily routine. I'll come home from work. I come in the door. I go directly to my bedroom. I get out of my work clothes. I change into my casual clothes. And by the time I get to the kitchen, she's got my food on my plate. She's got my glass ready. And I just sit down and eat, you know. And I've never asked her to do that. I would never ask her to do that, okay? I would never go, hey, I want my food ready when I come in the door. You know, I would never do that. I've got a bald head and not show up really easily, okay? So I would never do that. But for some reason, one day she just started doing that. And I tell you what, it really is a blessing to my heart. Servant leadership in the home. And I'm sure that if you and I sit down and think about our homes, that there's ways that we can serve our wives, serve our children. Many years ago, my son was on deputation. He's a missionary in Germany. And they showed up to our house. They were back on the West Coast they crisscrossed the country several times on deputation. And I could tell they were both, he and his wife, they were both a little frazzled. A little tired, a little weary. And I noticed that, and I heard his wife tell him, you know, we really need to clean the car up. You know, there's bugs all over it, and it's nasty. We've been driving for 2,000 miles and stuff. And he was kind of, yeah, I know, you know. So I got up early the next morning before they got up and went out and washed his car. And you say, well, why did you do that? To impress your son or to, you know, so that he would do something for you later? I'm just telling you, the Lord laid it on my heart. I don't know how else to explain it. So I'm just saying there's opportunities in the home to be the servant leader that we want to be. We just have to stop and think about those opportunities. So I want to challenge you. Before you leave this place and go back home, have some things written under that. Be servant leadership in the home. Secondly, servant leadership in the church. Again, there's a habitual. There's things maybe in your church that need to be done. And I know, I mean, if you're here at this spiritual leadership conference, I know you're probably already some of the busiest people in your church. Okay. But there may be some other things that God wants you to do. So be willing to examine that and pray about it. And again, ask the Lord, Lord, is there something else that I can do? Something else that you want me to do? And if he lays something on your heart, maybe talk to your pastor about it and see. And have him pray with you about that and maybe give you some direction there. Letter C, servant leadership in the workplace. Now we're getting more toward being a servant to others that you might lead them to the Lord. And there's a multitude of things that you can do in the workplace. One of the things I've kind of made a habit of is I'll empty the trash cans of my coworkers. I'll just walk around. If their trash can's full, I'll just grab it and take it out and empty it. We work on a ticket system. I work in a maintenance type field. And sometimes I'll see somebody's got, you know, several tickets, and I'll grab one of them and just go out and do it, you know, to try to be a blessing to them. Many years ago, I had a man that was very, very hostile toward me because I was a Christian. He was very rough, biker type character, and I just kept doing things for him, you know. And finally one day he waited. I'll never forget this. I was in my office. We were in the office. Everybody had left. They were just turning the lights off at the end of the day. I thought I was in there by myself, and I was getting ready to turn the last light off, and he comes walking in, and I thought, oh no, what's he gonna do now, you know? Because I mean, when he got near me, he would just start cursing and just foul stuff, and just because he knew I didn't like it. And so he comes walking in, and he looks around, makes sure nobody else is in there, and he says, hey, would you do me a favor? I said, sure, what do you need? He said, my wife and I, we're having some problems. Would you pray for us? And that just about floored me. I've never heard him talk like that before. And so I'm just saying, it does make a difference when you serve in the workplace, when you find opportunities to do things for people that they don't expect, okay? And gives you opportunities to witness. This particular gentleman never got saved while he was there, but the seed was planted. I was able to tell him about the Lord and talk to him about the Lord because of that situation. And then letter D, servant leadership in the community. Look for opportunities in the community to serve others. Here at our church, we do something called Love Works. When I did that, and by the way, love does work. The Bible teaches us not to just love in word, but to love in deed and in truth, okay? And so we should look for opportunities to serve our communities. For some people in our church, might be working in Little League. For other people, it might be some other venue. I know that I've gone down to the veterans home. We have a veterans home here in Lancaster, and just kind of a bunch of us just kind of cleaned up around there and sat around and talked to the veterans. And we had at least one veteran that I know of saved from that. And so I'm just saying, servant leadership is much broader than sometimes we think it is, and that we realize it. We all have influence on people. Every day, anybody you come in contact with, the lady at the cash register, you have influence with anybody you come in contact with. You have opportunity to serve them that you might lead them closer to the Lord. Let's finish up with this verse, John chapter 13, these verses. John chapter 13, Jesus again, after he served the disciples, after he washed their feet, he said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him." And this last phrase is just amazing. "If ye knew these things," or "if ye know these things, rather, happy are ye if ye do them." Now stop and let that sink in for a minute. We know what we're supposed to do. The mandate is to serve others. The motive is love. The master is God. We know what we're supposed to do. But Jesus says here, after washing their feet and being the example of a servant leader, he says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. These men that I was watching when I first got here, they were happy. I mean, it was just amazing. They were cleaning toilets and they were happy, you know. They were mowing the lawn, sweating, and 300 degrees out here, you know, and they're just happy. You know, they're trimming trees around the church and they're just happy. And I'm thinking, what in the world? You know why? Because they knew these things and they did those things. Happy are ye if ye what? Do them. Okay? And serving the Lord is wonderful. It really is. As long as you make sure that you're serving the Lord. Okay? as long as you make sure you're serving the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together this morning, Lord, or this afternoon, rather. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for each person who attended this leadership conference. And I know, Lord, that some of them, it was their vacation time. I know there was expense involved. There was travel involved, which is not easy in these days. And Lord, they've all come here to this place. And Lord, you've answered our prayers. We've had some wonderful preaching and some wonderful sessions and some beautiful music. And we've worshiped you and praised you. But now, Lord, we pray as we get ready to wind up this spiritual leadership conference that you'd help us to go from this place and be the servant leaders that you want us to be. Help us to serve in our homes and help us to serve in our church and help us to serve in our workplaces and communities in such a way that we might draw people closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. If we can help you with anything, if you have any questions at all, please let us know.